Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Mission Accepted podcast show. You are, as I say every week, because you continue to blow me away. You are the best podcast audience, and honestly, you're so supportive. So we so appreciate you. We're so happy you're here. And we know that you're sharing the information because not only guests, but bombard me. Keep sending me the emails. Keep telling me what it is that you want to see, what you want to hear. We have everything from Gen Z, this incredible Gen Z generation, breaking ground in the world of entrepreneurship, entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs. Some of you are like, what's entrepreneurs? And I'm like, you probably are one, or you know one. That person in your life, they're like, really? What else are you going to put on your plate? It's the creative entrepreneur. That's my new term. Hashtag creative entrepreneur. I'm gonna make a t-shirt out of all of this one day, you guys, and sell them and raise the money and put it towards, I don't know, maybe a walk across Ireland or something like that. But so the creative entrepreneur who continues to add to their basket of things that they offer the world. And then of course, the gorgeous, beautiful creatives of people that are writing and singing and sculpting and arting and building. And then media, like podcast hosts, like radio hosts and TV hosts and journalists. And all of us that are self-funded and fueled on passion and, authenticity, right? Isn't that really what's happening a lot in the world today of being an entrepreneur? And so you get to hear the most incredible stories. I'm so fortunate. I'm like, they're like, you got to go to work today. I'm like, oh yeah, it's so tough. So tough to do this for a living and meet the coolest people. Now here's someone interesting that's coming onto the show today. Her name is Melanie Starr. So you had to know that she was going to be a success just from the given name, right? But here's a woman who's done what a lot of you have done. Many of us decide to be entrepreneurs because we get an inspiration or somehow we go and buy a bucket of courage at the local store or whatever. And sometimes we're kind of pushed into it, or something will happen in our life that will alter what it is that we're doing, or something that, you know, you've gone through yourself and you know people need help with. That definitely came really strong through in my conversations with Melanie. I mean, I was 27 and I was taking a massage course, and I knew through the tingling in my body that I was going to do this the rest of my life. And that started off my journey. And yes, that was my inspiration. But this woman has a really interesting story. She's, you know, I would say more corporate background, gone healer. And those don't naturally, you don't hear a lot of those stories, yet they happen all the time because the universe is knocking on people's doors all the time. She just came to a place in her life where she had experienced enough, I guess, in her words, trauma to take her experience and go, I can't be the only person that's done this. And now we were just talking earlier and having a little chuckle about, a little exploration conversation about, you know, is she a healer? Is she a coach? Can you do one without the other? And I'm going to stop talking because this is where we get to turn it over to Melanie. Melanie, they're like, who's this woman? Tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to take on the mission?
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Deb, for having me on your podcast. And I just appreciate it so much. It really is one of these things where the seeds were planted decades ago when I was a young woman in my 20s. And then life happened to me and kind of stopped me on that particular path I was going forward to be a yoga teacher with the idea of being an energy healer at that time. And then, you know, I ended up pregnant, you know, these things happen, and then got back into the public relations that I had tried to leave initially in 1993. I left my first job as at an agency and had gotten into this new world of natural healing and was just and fell in love. I was had moved from Halifax to Whistler and then Victoria. So I was immersed in this whole much more like new age kind of thing that was really bursting forth in the 90s on the West Coast, and became very involved in that. And then life kind of happened to me in terms of, you know, having a children and getting back, like for the sake of more financial stability than just being a yoga teacher, going back into public relations, going back into consulting, and worked as a consultant with my own business. I was actually a literary publicist at the same time as I was a medical journalist and communication strategist, working mostly with Dalhousie Medical School, the Brain Repair Center, and other entities within Dalhousie Medical School, and really learned so much about health and how the body works, and especially the brain. Be very interested in brain science, and then that has really carried forward in my work now. You know, things happen. Like I said in my little about bio, we went through incredible amounts of tragedy and trauma from 2009 to basically 2016, where my brother died of H1N1 in a very traumatizing sudden death situation. My daughter's best friend killed herself. She was only 13 years old. That sent my daughter, it was a soul-shattering event, right? Completely altered our lives. It just was like, after that. You know, my husband at the time had developed throat cancer, but then things in our marriage were also breaking apart, and all of these pressures from all of the things that had happened. We were falling apart, I think, as individuals, as well as a couple and a family. Things, you know, fell apart. Then my daughter developed a very severe eating disorder. It was just, so I kind of found myself back in this world, trying to help her heal. Originally, I had been trying to help myself heal in my 20s. And even in my teens, actually, I had many serious traumas happen to me. Like I got hit by a motorcycle riding my bicycle. I had some major falls, crashes, high speed catapults onto hard surfaces when I was living in Whistler. So that's what got me into the yoga teacher training and really learning therapeutic yoga. I was trying to get myself back to be able to move because I couldn't turn my neck, for example. Like I had to turn my whole body if I wanted to turn my neck. So. And I also met an energy healer at that time who taught me some methods. And I, for the next couple of decades, was working on myself and experienced this healing inside, the opening up of closed in spaces inside my body. So then when all of this went down and my daughter was in such a terrible state, one of our mentors encouraged me to get my own healing. I wasn't able to deal with the breakdown of my marriage at all because I was completely in, you know, panic stations, Traumaville, dealing with this life-threatening situation with my daughter. So I started taking on, we actually did it together. We did our Reiki training together and both became Reiki masters. And I've worked on her a lot with Reiki. And that was really, Reiki has been even more impactful to me than yoga. I was surprised by that, but it completely opened me up to my light body and what that means to be connected to the light, and a whole new level of comprehension of myself as a divine being that I hadn't, I was getting hints of it with yoga, but not the same kind of like deep recognition and realization that I was experiencing with Reiki. And that also took me into EFT. My idea early on was, but I very early on started taking on the idea that other people are going through this. I was starting to empathize with the idea of what parents are going through when their children have eating disorders. And I was thinking about taking these, what I was learning, and translating it to working with parents of children with eating disorders. And I did do a little bit of that work, and I expect that at some point in time, I'll go back to it. But then I also was realizing I needed to deal, you know, she got past the scariest part of all of that. And then I was really realizing that I needed to deal with the breakdown of my marriage. I was with this man since I was 18 years old, 32 years together, 26 years married, completely influential in my entire life. Like, as you know, long-term marriages influence every aspect of your life, where you're living, who your social group is, what you're doing for a job, what you do for your leisure activities, what your frame of mind is, what your belief system is, at all, you're so influenced by all of this, right? So my identity and you know, as a mother and you know, a homemaker and all of these things was just you know? I had to deal with that. And so I started focusing on that for myself. And then it became, and healing the trauma within me, healing my codependency that I then was starting to recognize, like, what is a trauma bond? What is codependency? Understanding that all of this stuff that happened between me and him was to do with our respective childhood traumas. Understanding that the higher the spiritual perspective that you can take, the sooner, the faster you can heal when you realize that, oh, I chose this person. You know, before I even came in this time, this person was meant for me. I was meant for them because we were meant to learn so much from each other in our relationship, right? So I really started healing from my divorce and then realized that that was where I wanted to go with my work, at least for now, for a primary focus. I kind of see a more kaleidoscopic mission, but right now that's my more focused mission.
Right. I love that, kaleidoscopic. You know, it's a good friend of mine, a couple of days ago, we were talking because, of course, I'm one of those entrepreneurs, and he's like, we were coming up with names because people are like, what's an entrepreneur? And I'm like, oh, so now we have another one to add, you know, kaleidoscopic mission.
Yes.
And he's like, Deb, because he was talking about himself as well. And he's also creative. He's actually my webmaster. And he's like, we're potential lights. I'm like, ooh, that's a good one as well. Potential light. Got to write that one down.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
So let's just recap a little bit, because that's a lot of breath for people to take in. So really, it's really been a journey for you. It's been like this coming to, but it's very interesting. And you'll hear that a lot with people in the healing arts. And I had a healing arts studio for 27 years. So I understand the organic, it's not an organic process. It's almost like an organic vision, where you go from one thing to another thing to another thing. And you start to see both sides of the coin, where you talk about seeing the spiritual, you know, relationship between this marriage, and also going through the actual, you know, pain of what it's like for that to come to an end, and dealing with the situation with your daughter, you know, from a practical standpoint, and what it means, and your epiphany of, oh my gosh, what are other parents, you know, dealing with, go out there in the world, because I know what I'm dealing with. And then, you know, relying on this spiritual aspect of Reiki or what have you to help in this very kind of pragmatic situation that you have going on. And I think that the world has very much come, you know, I mean, hello, sister, I'm with you in the 90s, you know, when you had embarked on yoga, I had embarked on massage, and it sounds like you fall in your love with Reiki. And for me, my love was chakras and Ayurveda. Like, right. I think one of the healing modalities tends to resonate stronger for whatever that means, right? It's obviously a very big gift of yours. And so being able to recognize that you've had traumas, and I'm sure people listening will, if they went through the 4 or 5 or 10 years of their life, could list things. Then when something happens, then that digestion period and that transition period, and then the recognition of that. So you certainly have gone through enough, yet good on you that through that whole process, you had like an energy healer trying to help you turn your neck. I see you as a very resourceful woman who was willing to explore all possibilities to heal from, you know, what we would say was very traumatic times, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's been very, very traumatic times. Dark, sometimes that were very dark when you don't, you actually feel like, are we going to get through this?
Yeah.
What is going to happen here? Times of tremendous terror, really, and doubt. But always connecting, for me, it has always come back to connecting to source. And coming back to try to find that inner voice of myself and my connection to the divine, and understanding that I'm here for a reason, that all of this stuff has happened for a reason. It's been like a training ground, so that when I'm sitting in front of a client, it almost doesn't matter what they are talking to me about. I've experienced so much that I can empathize with so many parts of the coin, whether it's depression, anxiety, addiction, chronic pain, insomnia, you know, relationship breakdown, a child having a serious health crisis, whatever it is that they're going through. And I do find, one of the things I find with my audience of women going through midlife divorce is that many of them do have their children are also compromised because they were in conflicted relationships so long, and it was hard on the children. I work with the older women, but I have a message for younger women and couples as well. If it's really going badly, staying together for the kids is not doing the kids any favor. They'll do better if they see that their parents can peacefully, you know, separate and build resourceful lives on their own, where they can co-parent peacefully and all those kind of things, than trying hanging on when they're out of alignment now. Because as you know, no doubt, it's all to do with the energetic alignment, frequency alignment of a pair of partners. And over so many years, people change. They just do. And when people are resonating on the same frequency or similar frequency, it's like music, right? You're so into music, you get harmony. But when someone's frequency is shifting and shifting and the other person's maybe isn't, you get discordance. Literally, the energetic frequencies of the two individuals are no longer in harmony, and you will get discord. And there's nothing can be done about it except recognizing that people have to be true to themselves. They have to be in alignment with themselves ultimately, because then if you're not, you're abandoning yourself. And many of my client base have been doing that for decades because of the social conditioning that tells you that it's more important to try to keep everything going, even if both people and the children are being harmed by the discordance that's being produced by the misalignment, right? So the social conditioning to stay in the marriage is very, very strong. But you can see how it's breaking down now. And there's such a wave, it's called like a tsunami of gray divorce, pretty much. The divorce rates are just escalating in this age group. And part of it is to do with the fact that people change over so many years. And also some of these relationships are just not meant to be anymore, right? They're not.
I mean, yeah, it's such an interesting and in-depth topic, right? I remember reading back, there was a great book, Harvey Hendrix? And he wrote Finding the Love That You Find. And then his talk about the difference of marriage and dating, being engaged, and then really what happens when you get married and the difference of that, keeping the love that you find. And one of the main principles for him was, because you have this relationship, and it's so hard because you would have to go back almost to not to the beginning of time, but you'd have to come to some kind of mutual epiphany during the course of your relationship, recognizing, because his book and his books were incredible, was that, and it was the insight that I got for me was that if you could recognize that the person that you're in relationship with has not only brought forth like great love and great gifts and great things, but also probably some kind of remembrance of your childhood trauma.
Absolutely.
That they're actually triggering you as well. And if you can recognize that the things and that person is actually setting off bells and whistles for you, and you can go get some help on those bells and whistles, or that person recognizes that you are also bringing up things for them. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting because in business, as we move up to different levels of success, or we go sideways, or we make a different decision. Or I remember when I went from one industry to another industry, the people that were in my industry before, you know, we were kind of a bit of a family. They're like, oh, so you think you're, you know, better now? Or I'm like, no, I'm just changing industries. Like, don't be so heartbroken. You know, you got my phone number, right? But as we make changes, sometimes the people around us don't like that. And they act in the strangest ways. And a lot of times it'll come out as jealousy or what have you. Those are a little easier to recognize. But so we recognize it in our world around us, but when it's actually happening in the interrelationship and in the encasings of our heart, it's difficult, I think, because both people have to recognize that there's work to do because we're triggering things off for each other. So say you are going off into a different arena and you would call that an alignment. That other person might be feeling left out, abandoned. It might trigger their abandonment. It might trigger their loss. Their dad left when they were young. They were adopted. I mean, oh my gosh, right? Their best friend, you know, was their best friend and then went off with some other group at grade 8, or, you know, their best friend moved when they were young and it made an impression. Oh my gosh, the bucket is full, right? But unless that person recognizes that they're in some kind of trauma due to your kind of maybe expansion, that's also a place where discord happens. And it takes a really high level consciousness of people to go, maybe there's something going on here, and continue to heal, much like you did with your physical body. It's like, I say to people, if you have something wrong with your body and you're in physio, if you're not going for 3 weeks, you're probably going for 3 months. But for both people in relationship to go, we've got 3 months or 6 months of work to do to try to at least respect each other's places where they're going now, and to try to keep some kind of formula to stay together if meant to be. And yes, like you said, many times people don't understand.
And it's not always. And you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about it takes a certain level of consciousness to be able to understand that your triggers, that you to stop avoiding the things that trigger you because you don't want to be triggered, to understanding that the things that trigger you are like doorways to healing. Because if you can learn how to be calm and safe and to work through, like, any opportunity that you're facing, a trigger is an opportunity to heal that issue. Yep. It's something that's come up for healing, but you know, that's not necessarily a common perspective. People have a ways to go before they get there. And that's part of what I feel my mission is as well. I have this sort of two-part mission. It feels quite a sacred mission to me. It's been, I've literally fallen into it in some ways, but I also feel it's been handed to me and that my life has been guiding me this way to be learning how to heal myself. I am a woman who likes to teach people to fish rather than give them a fish. So I'm a teacher as well, right? As a coach.
Yes.
I'm a teacher and a mentor too. I love to teach. I love to teach people the technologies that they can use to help themselves heal. And in the process, I'm also trying to help them raise their consciousness level. As you know, Einstein said, we can't solve our problems at the level of consciousness that the problems were created. You have to get to a higher level of consciousness to be able to solve problems. And this includes problems in relationships between individuals and then relationships, say, between governments and populations, across nations, communities, men and women. There's so much duality dividing us right now across so many spheres that we need this raise overall planetarily for people to start to recognize that we are all the same. We are all one. There is no separation between me and anybody else on the planet or any plant, animal, you know, rock. We're all part of it. We're only as strong as our weakest member. And we can't continue this kind of pillaging of the earth and basically the top 1% running away with everything and leaving everybody else in this, you know, state. There needs to be some overall like raising of consciousness, and it can only happen by individuals. We cannot have a healthy society composed of unhealthy individuals, right?
True.
You have to have healthy individuals to have a healthy society. And so this is where, I mean, I know that seems rather grand, but it does happen one person at a time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you're talking to a group of people that have been listening that are exactly that. I mean, I think that's where that, you know, part of the creative period is recognizing similarities and recognizing differences, even in what you were talking about before in terms of relationships and the work that you do. Some are meant to heal, some are meant to elevate, and some are meant to separate. And right. I think the being in the okayness of that, whatever that looks like, whether it's the work you need to do or the pain that you need to go through, and recognizing that, yes, we all are. And I think, you know, it sounds very Hallmark, sounds very, you know, cards, but it doesn't. It's like, you know, when you say that, it's one person at a time. One, it reminds me of one of the industries that I am, that is the philosophy of how we build our business. But the other one, the first name that popped into my head, maybe because I'm so absorbed in music, is Bob Geldof. And when you think when they got together and sung We Are the World, I don't think anyone that was around from that generation would forget the impact. I mean, I can still hear that song today, you know, and if you're too young to understand what it is, get yourself on YouTube and go Google We Are the World and encapsulate that feeling. I think for me, it was one of the times where I really got to see, because we didn't have the internet, you know what I mean? Like we didn't have the internet we have today. We didn't have the technology to be able to talk to people all over the world, even in small tribes in Kenya. You know, I was talking to a woman that's in a very small tribe in Africa, you know, in Jamaica. We just didn't have that technology, and we didn't have a sense of the world, I think, until, you know, a lot of times artists or creatives or people that are movers or teachers actually started flying to places and teaching and people going and learning and the whole, you know, all of that good stuff happening with your teacher. So, you know, it's those plane, trains, and automobiles. And now we do come from a world, and I think people can encapsulate that, honestly, one movement, right? Isn't that what, you know, tsunami is like, a butterfly effect, like one movement can really change. So we're getting pretty vast and we're getting pretty philosophical on here. Let's bring it back a little bit. Melanie, Let's bring it back a little bit. So I want to talk about you because you are a healer. You know, you are a master at what you're teaching. You have clearly great intentions. You're very authentic in your, you know, the bigger picture. But I love the fact because there is a lot of women in the sector that you're in now, whatever the kaleidoscope has for you in the future is what it is. But first of all, we need to come back on the show and me and you need to talk brain. Because when you're talking brain, I was like, oh my God, everyone knows I love the brain. I'm like a brain addict. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about what the work is now. So you work predominantly with women that are actually in that midlife place, because when a divorce ends, so does a lot of things like our identity gets, you know, gets spread. So tell me, you tell us what work you do.
Okay. Well, I have a Facebook group, a private Facebook group that I run. I keep it pretty intimate, so everyone feels safe. It's a very safe space. I call it Midlife Divorce Transformation. And the reason why I use the word transformation is I want people to Okay. So a lot of people are approaching their divorce like it's the end of the world, and right. It can be crushing, devastating. I was devastated. I was completely devastated. Could barely function. You know, it feels like the end of the world. It feels like the end of your life. You lose a lot. Like I lost my home, my community, my neighbors, friends, money, you know, the family, so much, you know, you lose so much. And then you're really left though, confronting yourself. And that is actually a gift, because you had so much distraction and so much emphasis on everybody else. And you realize that you were conditioned to be like that, to put everybody else first, even if you're actually kind of destroying yourself in the process or losing yourself. And so what I'm helping these women learn how to do is put themselves first, see who they really are, understand themselves as a divine being, and start to understand what really turns their crank. What inspires them? How do they want to move forward? How can they find safety in their life? How can they find connection? How can they ground themselves, right? Into these really basic things. I work a lot with the physical body, with the heart, mind, soul. It all has to be part and parcel. So I do one-on-one work. I work, I'm a master EFT practitioner, which is, I would have to call it my workhorse modality. I do other things. I do embodiment work, breath work, energy healing, et cetera. But EFT is this sort of workhorse. It's so effective, and you can work with people over Zoom. And I find I've been blown away because people will come to me. Most of my clients, they're not just going through divorce. A lot of them have already, it's like 5-10 years later and many years of therapy later. And they're coming to me and saying, I still feel stuck. I don't feel any better. And I've not only that, I've repeated negative patterns in subsequent relationships, and I'm even more broken now than I was after my marriage because I've had another relationship that left me feeling hollowed out or whatever. So what I have been finding is that 10 sessions of EFT over Zoom can transform someone's life. I have a client in Sydney, Australia. And I can work all around the world with people on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And my client, Kirsty, when I first started working with her, she really was saying, you know, if this is my life, I'm not sure I want it. And 10 sessions later, she's like, after the second session, she emailed me and said, oh my gosh, I feel myself as coming back. And now she's just so grateful and she feels like I've saved her life, you know? And I see these results with women. It's amazing how effective EFT is because it works on the nervous system. It's not just talking about your problems. It's calming the amygdala, the, you know, threat detection center in your brain, and deactivating your triggers as you work through all of this stuff. And it always takes us back to childhood because always there's some kind of predisposing factor that has caused this person to not value themselves maybe as much as they should and could as, you know, a divine being. Right. And so bringing them back into themselves and going through and healing their nervous system from the trauma, you know, the separation anxiety, in many cases, there's a betrayal trauma. In some cases, there was a codependent with an alcoholic partner is very often the case. A lot of my clients come to me having been in marriages with very mentally unwell people can certainly happen. And that's had a big effect on them as well. So they've been through a lot, but it's kind of almost miraculous how well EFT works, even for such deeply entrenched long-term patterns. It kind of astonishes me, really. So that's, and I'm developing a group program that I'm going to launch this fall, calling that Embrace Your Midlife Divorce Transformation. Like, don't fight it. As we all know, the resistance to what is the source of all suffering, right? You have to accept it. Don't just accept it, embrace it. Say, I'm alone now. What can I do with that to make it be to my best benefit, to build my best life ever, even though it's very painful right now? It won't always be that way. It's kind of this offer of hope. I want to do group programs because divorce is very isolating.
Right.
Right. You lose so many people, all your friends who are still married, those people that were couples that were good friends with you and your husband or whatever, they're kind of gone. Like, they're not including you. You just feel very isolated, and your friends can maybe get tired of hearing about it because they don't get it. And it's like, is this contagious or something? So bringing women together in small, I think of them as sacred healing circles, to be in little group programs with maybe 8 or 10 people, to connect, to have weekly healing coaching sessions on Zoom, supplemented with like a weekly curriculum that takes them through a pathway of using embodiment teaching, like using different yoga postures and breathing exercises to feel into being a different person through your body. Like, if you're like this, you know, downhearted, right?
Yeah. So if you're slouching over, I'm just saying that because some people are watching and some people are audioing. So like, you know, if you're kind of caved in or
sinking down
lower,
your heart is sinking. You're downhearted, right? You have to literally lift your heart and open your heart and lift your crown, like be a queen, right?
Right.
You know, don't throw yourself to the dogs in how you hold yourself and carry yourself. Many different, I work with them with posture and breathing and all of this kind of stuff through grounding, centering exercises, purging exercises, connecting with anger, releasing grief, processing emotions on all kinds of different levels, mentally, emotionally, physically, step by step through a defined curriculum. So that will be launching in the fall. So I'm pretty excited about that. Really looking forward to working with women in groups and having people having accountability buddies.
So let's regroup a little bit. So first of all, I want to just share with anyone who's not familiar with EFT, it does stand for Emotional Freedom Technique. And as you're listening to Melanie, you're hearing obviously a lot of things around freedom. And I think you really hit a couple of nails on the head. And I know that a lot of you out there listening have had experiences of aloneness, whether you are on either side of this picture. So Melanie, yes, works with women. And then we also know that divorce is difficult for both people in its own right. And it does, you lose a sense of identity, and couples don't really know what to do. And like you said, they think it's contagious and they don't know what to do and they don't know how to articulate it. And they don't want to invite you to events because they don't want you to feel alone and they don't want to, and everybody doesn't really know exactly what to do. And yet there is a sense of aloneness because now you are what you thought was a couple and now alone. But some of the things that you said, I love to highlight because obviously we want people to reach out to you and I'm sure that they will, but let's talk about some things someone could do today. You know what I mean? That you talked about. I loved how you talked about changing the posture of the body. I mean, whether it's success in life or success in love or self-esteem as success or business, we always hear about, you know, change your state. And when you talk about standing prouder and having your heart, because when we are heartbroken, we tend to concave, like you say, and kind of keep things low and keep ourselves low and keep our curtains kind of closed more and stay in the house. And that caving can be very healing, but also at a certain point, it's, you know, it's just really kind of standing and opening up your heart. So any kind of movement, like you were talking about breathing, what are some other tips that people can do till they can literally get into a relationship with you or into the group? What are some of the things that you tell people to do in the immediate that can help them feel like they're going to be okay?
One of the most important things to do is to get out in nature.
Okay.
It's been my go-to to get out in the woods or to the ocean or the mountains, whatever you have available to you. If all you have is a city park, get to the city park. Get your feet on the ground. Take your shoes off. Put them on the earth, right? Get your feet in direct contact with the earth and feel your connection to the earth. right? Understand that it supports you, that you're there, you're here, you're on the earth, and you're fundamentally okay. And if you can lie yourself down on your back or belly on the earth, so much the better. You probably know this. I don't know if you've ever done any Feldenkrais, but you've probably done a certain amount of yoga, like getting yourself on the floor or on the ground and feeling your body connecting to the earth, to feel that support and to give your nervous system just a pause and to allow yourself to relax and feel the support and take the support, whether it's your bed, the floor, or the earth, is very, very important. And in the early days, that's one of the most important things. And music. Music is really important, I feel, for in the early days, especially when you are just devastated and there's almost nothing that you can do. Talking to people, of course, but then you're re-traumatizing yourself a lot because you're going through, you're telling your story. You know you're traumatized when you're going off at the mouth at 5,000 miles an hour and you can't stop, that you know you're traumatized, right? Yeah. And to get to let things out, to really let it out, allow the grieving. You may privately, kind of preferably, so you're not freaking everybody else out, but really allow it. Allow yourself to bawl your head off. Allow yourself to punch a pillow, break things, whatever you need to do, right, to get the anger out or the frustration. If you're an athlete and healthy, you know, that you can to run, like all those energies of trauma, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. If you've been in, people get traumatized at work and they get traumatized in relationships, and you can't do that fight or flight very easily in those situations. You can't really pop your boss and you can't necessarily run away from your house and your kids and everything. Although you want to, so you freeze, you're in a freeze response. Or you're fawning to survive, like you're being that, like sucking up to people or whatever, whether it's your spouse or your boss or whatever. So those keep you locked. They keep you stuck in disempowering relationship patterns and also not taking steps forward in your life because you're fully in a trauma response where your prefrontal cortex is shut off. Your amygdala is going crazy and you're basically functioning from your reactive reptilian brain, which has very few resources for any kind of creative thinking, right? So you need to get get a feeling of safety in your body, but it's hard to do when you're vibrating on total trauma. So you do have to do the emotional release, but then I would recommend people start tapping. If you're talking to a friend about what you went through, don't just talk to your friend. Tap on the top of your head while you're talking to them.
All right.
Or tap on your collarbones while you're talking to them. Or on the side of your hand on the karate chop point. Don't just talk about your pain. Tap while you're talking about your pain. And you will start to bring that firing that's going on in your amygdala down. And then that allows your prefrontal cortex to come back online. And then you can think again. Then you can have creative solutions again. And you can think of what your next step is. And you may even have the resources to take it. As long as you're trapped in a trauma response, you're frozen, right? Can't move. Tap a little bit, and then you can move. Even if it's just to get up off the sofa.
Right. I mean, we've all been there. And so here's two things I wanted to, before we kind of wrap up today. So when you were telling people to tap on the top of their head and on their collarbone and on the side of their hand, any of those will actually bring people kind of back and out of trigger response, it sounds like, into being able to make a kind of a next step decision, or at least bring them back out of trigger, out of that trigger response.
If you're working with a professional on your own, tapping is great to do on your own, and you can use it for like acute circumstances of extreme stress to help you get through the day, or like I'm feeling nervous about a job interview, or I'm feeling nervous about going on a date or meeting a potential landlord or whatever it is that you're doing this week, or a court date or something. You know, I teach my ladies to, squeeze the nail bed on their thumb under the table at the lawyer's office and breathe deeply to stay calm while they're dealing with stressful situations. To really do the deep healing, it does require professional help, I believe, but as a self-help tool, very, very powerful. You probably won't be able to take yourself to the deepest layers of, the peeling the onion to get right. to the core root issues. Because I start working, when I'm working with people, we start working with the saboteur that's driving these self-sabotage behavior patterns. We start working with the inner child whose panicked responses are keeping people stuck. You know, we go back to all of that stuff. We go really, really deep and start reprogramming. Some people call it matrix reprogramming. Start reprogramming how they're feeling power in their bodies to right. do with experiences that they had in their lives that were very disempowering. We start returning people's personal power back to them. That requires some professional assistance, but not necessarily a lot. People don't have to be in EFT for years.
Right.
It's not the way it works.
Right.
It's a much more rapid fire response. Yeah.
Okay. So before we wrap up, I want to highlight, obviously, those were some great things that you can do. And if you have deeper work to do, you know, Melanie's going to have all her information in the show notes and you're going to be able to reach out to her. The second thing is I want to highlight something that you said that I think is really important is you don't have to have just gone through the divorce to have this residual. I mean, even oh, wow. I know for myself that the relationship that I went into after my marriage had ended, which is a number of years ago, ended up being similar in nature. I was like, oh, there's some similarities here. But I didn't quite know because, you know, it comes in a different form, right? And until you get observant. Yes. And sometimes you don't know you're doing that because you're just in your own way of being in your own patterns and yes. not until you recognize. So I love the fact that you talked about some people are coming to you two, three, four, five years, who knows, 10 years later when they realize. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 20 years. Yes, and people, the other thing is that, and this is such a profound part of the healing, is that the tendency, of course, as you know, when a relationship breaks down, everybody does it. It is them or whatever, right? Like there's this blaming thing that goes on. But everybody, to heal you and to move forward in your life, you have to take responsibility for everything that you're encountering in your life because you are the creator of your own reality, right? And people have to understand and recognize, and it can be hard because it's not the natural tendency is not to want to do this, is to recognize that it's your own patterns. It's your right. own inner feeling about yourself that disempowers yourself and actually kind of on it, people's human energetic interactions are really fascinating. And a certain kind of energy in one person will provoke a certain kind of different energy in another person, right? And if a person is really self-possessed and owns themselves in a deep way, they will not be abused. They will not be, you know, like they will not, or they will not be in a relationship that's full of struggle and conflict, right?
Right.
It's really, we have to take responsibility for our own community, the ways that we communicate, the ways that we feel about ourselves, whether or not we are willing to abandon ourselves, you know, how respectful we can be for another person. We have to recognize that maybe what we don't like about another person that we're seeing or we're rejecting or criticizing is actually something that they're showing us about ourselves.
Right.
Right? Because relationships are mirrors and some, you know, and that's why the consciousness is so important. And that when people are right. in really conscious relationships, they start to be able to say things like, oh, you just did something I didn't like that. I have to examine myself now.
Right. Right. There's so much to explore. I mean, Melanie, we could have you on every week. Maybe we will. it'll be the Melanie Star Report. Okay. So we're going to wrap up here. I'm actually very conscious of the fact that you have a session that you need to do. So we're going to wrap up here. But what I want to say to everybody, first of all, Melanie, can you give people your website or your, how they
can contact? Yes, my website is www.MelanieStar, there's two stars in star, transformation.com. So MelanieStarTransformation.com.
Okay.
Or they can reach me at Melanie@MelanieStar.ca.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for being transparent and sharing as well, because that's obviously a big part of how you've become as gifted as you are, is sharing some of those things. We know when someone says like their child had an eating disorder or a divorce happened or a death happened, we know that there's a whole vast array, and talking about how life was dark. And I think you don't get to a certain level of wisdom in this life unless you've experienced some darkness and to be able, you know, be able to come out of that. So I want to thank you, listeners, again. Look at, here it is. The Mission Accepted is a platform for people that have taken on the mission. And honestly, we're here for you to come and share your story. So please do that. And if you're not aware, We also produce publications. Publications that if you've always wanted to write a book, if you've always wanted to get your voice out, but you don't want to do it alone, that's okay. We do anthologies and we put people together, like-minded people together. And you heard Melanie talk about how supportive that is. And right, you know, right now as we're launching this podcast, we're having an incredible experience of hitting, you know, incredible numbers for book launches and making people that have never been authors before number one best-selling authors. And so how incredible is that? And so we have a community of opportunities of way for you to get your word out, whether it's endorsements on the site or publications or put a quote in our entrepreneur planner. There's lots of reasons for you to reach out. We'd like to help bring what you do to the forefront, like what happened for Melanie today. So please, you know how to get in touch with us, right? So Melanie, thank you so much for being so transparent. Thank you for going through and doing what you do. And thank you for sharing that with others. And with that, people, we will see you again here very shortly. Very shortly. And don't forget to share, and don't forget to subscribe, and don't forget to email. Honestly, you have a list of things to do, people. Don't forget to let us know how you felt about the show. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much for being the best audience ever. And Melanie, thanks again.